Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, Executive Director of the Classical Academies, and it's exciting to be doing another podcast. Today, our guest is Al Smith, and Al is a teacher at Classical Academy Online, and we're going to be talking about failing forward. So, Al, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Awesome. So when we talk about failing forward, what does that mean?
There are probably better ways to put it, like grit and growth mindset. When I was a kid, it was called quit being a crybaby, I think. and it is the ability for an individual to proceed in a constructive manner, moving forward, not just in whatever activity they're doing, but in their development. That no matter what happens, their outcome will end up being a positive outcome.
So why is failing constructive?
Failing is a normal thing. I think we lose track of how many times we failed when we were kids. I don't know if anybody's ever succeeded in running for the very first time when they were a toddler without any chance of falling.
Sure.
I believe we need to apply the same mentality throughout all our lives. No matter what age we are, we should always be trying to do something that we've never done before, which means we will fail more times than not. And I definitely encourage my students to keep that positive frame of mind when they do fail. There's no judgment from me as a teacher, particularly as a science teacher doing experiments. Failure is an integral part of scientific experiments, you know, and I'm very lucky to be a science teacher in that regard. But I certainly encourage all students in all aspects of life to embrace the unknown. Whether you will fail or not does not dictate the kind of person you are, you know.
Exactly. Now, I remember having a conversation with one of our students, and they were telling me about how much they love glass blowing and just how incredible this glass blowing opportunity would be. And then they were referring to some beautiful glass work that some professional had done. And they were saying, oh, they would never be that great at it. However, they love glass blowing. And I quickly just made the connection to, well, guess what? That artist has been doing this for 25 or 35 years, which has created these amazing sculptures. You can't, right out of the gates, just start glass blowing and be a master glass blower. And I'm guessing that this glass blower had many mistakes along the way and many opportunities to fail before they came up with these incredible pieces of artwork. So kids, it's okay. Try things, you know?
Of course, they must have absolutely messed it up over and over
and over and over and over again. Right. But they started somewhere. So is the lack of failure experiences harmful to students?
The failure that occurs in our everyday lives, we shouldn't try and prevent that possibility from happening, because you know success comes from putting yourself out there, not from being covered in, what is, there's that movie where the mom's so protective, Christmas Story.
Oh, the Christmas Story. Yes,
She's so afraid that he's gonna catch his death of cold that she just bundles him up in so many layers and layers and layers. And when he
can't even move,
but you know what? He's not going to get a cold, right? But what is that going to do to his self-esteem when all the kids, you know, make fun of him? When he thinks that he cannot handle the environment without all of these extra layers of protection, right? And there is a risk that a parent has to take and possibly putting their child out in the weather. Maybe they will get a cold. Maybe they risk not putting enough layers on. But if your child comes back, you know, they've stuck their tongue on the pole, they've hurt themselves, they will learn from that. And as long as it's not some, you know, some deadly illness that they get
out there. Death-defying opportunity, yeah. Right.
Having the opportunity to go out there, realize, oh my goodness, my mom did not bundle me up enough. I'm in the middle of a snow fort. My buddy's got 50 snowballs coming at my head. I am going to be super cold. Do I want to take the 10 minutes to go back? No, I can take this. I built you know, a whole collection of snowballs ready to launch right at Mr. Curry. I'm not going to give that up because I need an extra layer. You know, I can do this. I can suffer through this cold. If you do that over and over again in multiple situations from childhood up, you will eventually become that high school student who sees a mountain of research that has to be done and realize, hey, you know, I can do this. I've done far worse.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is if they're given smaller opportunities to fail while they're at home, as they enter college, as they enter the career force, as they enter having their own family, they have those experiences to fall back on. If they don't have those experiences because they've been in this protective environment this whole time, the disappointment that will come at college and through career or even a family experience later in life can be devastating. Absolutely. Instead of just, this just happens in life, I'm going to learn from this and work off of past experience and be able to move forward.
Yeah, I had a friend when I was a freshman at UC Davis. I don't remember her name. I don't remember her name, but I do remember she was the valedictorian of her high school. You know, nothing but a straight A student her entire life, and phenomenal student. And when we went to Davis, I by no means was that good of a student. I would have considered myself an average student, but I learned to work really hard my junior, senior year in high school. But I had never achieved straight A's on a single report card, let alone 4 years worth of report cards. And she didn't make it past about 3 or 4 months at Davis. She had a mental breakdown, and there was some serious damage because I had gotten F's before in my life. Mrs. Brown, this is for you, Ms. Brown. Thank you for that F minus on the first essay I ever did in your class. That hits you hard when you're a kid,
mm-hmm.
but it hits you harder if the first time you get an F is an adult. On your own in college. I had been punched, you know, with bad grades, and I'd come back. I'd gotten a C in Mrs. Brown's class. But I wasn't going to let that get me down, you know, because when you're young, you still have that, you know, that flexibility to kind of just like, you know, take what life has to have, you know, heal, get over it, build stronger, you know. When you're more set in your ways, when you have a defined construct of your identity as a straight-A student, that is essentially permanent by the time you're in college. I didn't have any self-identity of being a straight-A student or an F student or a C student, you know, when I was younger. So getting an F, all right, I'm not going to let this define me. I'm going to do better.
Mm-hmm.
But if you already have your definition in place of A, the first time you get a bad grade, you know, I saw what that did to somebody, a very good friend of mine who was a very, very sweet girl, very intelligent, incredibly good student. The only difference between her and I, other than the fact that she was far smarter and more intelligent than me, the only difference was that I did not ever have anything easy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't as smart as her. I always had to work hard. I didn't know what it was to get an A without really, really getting your work done and getting lucky on some tests. And, you know, that's how I got any A's. Had any teacher fully challenged her to intentionally make her feel like, oh, dude, I'm not a straight A student unless I do this.
Exactly. You know? No, I think about my own college experience, and I remember on every single paper I ever wrote, I got an A in. I got an A or an A minus. I got a B on my final paper in college, and I just remember going, okay, this is crazy. Every paper I've ever had is an A. How is this possibly a B? But you know what? It didn't define me. I do remember it humorously at this point to kind of go, hey, those things happen. That was their opinion of what I wrote. However, I can't imagine, but just what you've spoken to is the fact that there are some kids out there who've been so isolated from almost a reality of, guess what? Some people will judge you differently. What you've turned in, they believe, is a different grade, and it's okay. It's okay. Take from that experience what you can. Meet with that person individually to say, why is this a C paper? I really thought it was a strong A, but you gave me a C. Walk me through this. There are opportunities for you to be challenged. There's opportunities for you to grow. There's opportunities for you to do it again, you know? So how can parents facilitate failure experiences, I guess, what we'd say?
Yeah. So when parents see a poor grade on an assignment or on a grade report, I would encourage that parent to really know why.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely empathize with your knee-jerk reaction, which was to say, no, my student is an A student or a B student. They wouldn't get this grade. When I give a student a grade that's below what the parent is hoping for or what the student is hoping for, it is not a condemnation of that student or their work.
Nope.
It is an attempt by me to communicate how much I believe that they can do better, how much I believe in their future potential, and that I expect great things out of them. It is oftentimes it's the opposite that's read into these grades. I would hope, you know, that the parents will help them see, look, like Mr. Smith believes in you. He gave you this C with all these comments on it because he knows you're going to look at it, get motivated, and the next report or the next test or the next anything you do is going to be an A. He wouldn't have taken the time to do all that stuff and then send it back to you just so that he could get an earful from, you know.
Well, and I just think what we need to really remember on these whole failure experiences for students, so when that paper does come back with a C minus on it and you really thought it was going to be a B, it's for mom and dad to have that conversation with their son or daughter and then really encourage them. Sweetheart, you need to self-advocate. You need to go talk to that teacher and you need to ask them those things. Because if we teach our children how to self-advocate as they get into college, as they get into family relationships, as they get into dating relationships and stuff, we want them to have the ability to self-advocate. Because mom and dad, you're not always going to be there. You may be a phone call away, a text away, but in the moment, your son or daughter needs to be able to self-advocate and ask some of the tough questions just for themselves. And that way that teacher is having that conversation one-on-one with that student saying, I took the time to give you a C+, and I hope that you read the comments around there because I think you're an excellent writer and I think that you've got great potential, but right here is where didn't really come together for me, and let me work with you on these concepts, you know?
Yeah, that's why Mrs. Brown's F-. That thing was marked from head to toe. Like she wanted me to see the things that I needed to do. She didn't just leave it at F-
mm-hmm.
and make me wonder why. She had a whole litany of things I needed to do. And she took a lot of time grading that F-.
Right.
A lot of time. And I respect the heck out of that. And, you know, that taught me. I had to go to her. I immediately had to go to her because I didn't even know half the vocabulary, the things
that she was using.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember this self-advocacy. I'm like, I can talk to a teacher. I can talk to a very intimidating person. And I can walk away with some, you know, a positive outcome. I can fail forward here. And I do remember I had an exam, a midterm, in my very first quarter at UC Davis. I got a C on it. And I was like, cool, okay, C in my first college class midterm. That's okay with it. There's nothing wrong with it. And then I looked at my answers, and I realized I'd actually gotten an A, but I was so like nervous about my first midterm. I ended up smudging and erasing the Scantron in the wrong and changing my answers. And I was like, dude, I actually got like a legitimate A, but the Scantron picked up the wrong things or I guess multiple boxes. And so I'm like, I can talk to my I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can do this. And I talked to my professor and he looked at you have to turn in the test booklet. Right, they give you back the Scantron, but they keep the test booklet. And I had written, thankfully, notes and things in the test booklet. I'd circled some of the actual answers that I did end up trying to fill in. And then he ended up having a little bit of a mentor. And he ended up being one of the professors I could go for recommendations. And you know, it opened the door for me to go to my study abroad program. And it just opened a whole lot of doors. And you're right, when you can self-advocate, that's indicative of somebody who's got the self-confidence to risk being shut down by a professor, by mm-hmm. intimidating high school. That takes a lot of self-confidence. And if you've got that moxie, that's going to come from not from your parents advocating, but from you learning to advocate.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely. So, Al, as we come to the end of our time together, this failing forward conversation is so good to have in our homes, so great to have for our students to really rely on because it's a stepping stone to future success. So anything else you'd like to leave us with before we end our time today?
Fortune favors the bold. Fail away, kiddos. Fail away.
Fail away. Well, thank you, Al.
Thank you, Cameron.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.